Okay, so let's start. Sorry for the problem. Let's start with today's findings. As usual, we didn't found any particular issue on both the session. Obviously, we have weather conditions that are quite different compared to 2 years ago, much warmer than 2 years ago. So a bit of overheating on the soft compound was expected. Also, with talking about the new tarmac, because 40% of the circuit has been resurfaced, but the new tarmac is very similar to the old one. So measuring both the level of grip and the track roughness, I would say that we didn't find big differences, so we are not expecting anything different because of that. Then there was the milling of the circuit to try to remove the bumps, and in these areas, I believe that the roughness increased a little bit, but unfortunately, we had no. I mean, we measure the circuit before the milling, so I don't have a number for that. We saw just a bit of abrasion on the soft compound today. No graining, no blister, no other elements. We were expecting a level of performance similar to 2 years ago, and this morning in FP1, I would say that we were quite close to FP1 in 2019, while in the afternoon, they've been slower than 2019. I believe that part of this is due to the temperature that is much higher, and maybe part of this is due to the fact that now they use the same engine map, and in 2019 they had also the possibility to use different engine maps. That my idea, obviously we need to double check, but in any case it's just to explain why probably they were slower in FP2. Looking at the level of wear and degradation, we still believe that a two-stop strategy is the quickest option, because one stop is not achievable with soft and medium, and is probably marginal on medium and hard. So two stops is, I believe, the best strategy. Also, the time they lose for the pit stop is quite small. Here is 20 seconds, so there is an incentive to add the one stop in the strategy. We were checking also with our strategy toy three stops. That is possible, but I believe nobody's going for a three stop strategy. So two is the most, not the most, probably the best one. We will analyze the data tonight to see and confirm this idea, and see which are the compounds to be used. Today, I believe that we don't have anything else other than this. I don't know if you have questions. No questions. Ed.
What were the pace steps between the compounds? Apologies if I missed that, but
No, you're right.
The performance deltas.
I forgot to tell you. The delta lap time between hard and medium, we have to take our estimation, because we don't have numbers coming from the track. We estimate around 0.5, 0.6, quite small. And talking about medium and soft, we were estimating again around 0.6, but I believe it's a bit higher. Probably around 0.7, 0.8. That is an important information for qualifying, because clearly having a bigger delta lap time means that qualifying going through Q2 with the medium is more difficult or more risky. So that is important to consider for tomorrow qualifying. I'm not saying that if you start the race with a soft, you damage your race, because if the strategy is on two stops, it's still possible using soft and medium to achieve a quick strategy, a quick two-stop strategy. But obviously, if you start on the medium, you have a better flexibility, more flexibility, and that's this is giving you an additional degree of flexibility on strategies. Dieter.
Ciao. Mario, this may sound like an idiotic question, but the bumpiness on the track, does it in any way affect your tires in any way whatsoever?
That is a question that I had today, difficult to answer, obviously, to understand if there is any effect on the construction. We will analyze tires as usual tonight, with a cutting section and looking at the construction, and also looking at also at the data. The other possible effect is that it's easier to flat spot the tire, to lock the tire because of the jumps. I don't see any other specific element. I was trying to understand if this can make the overheating worse because you put more energy into the tire and maybe you also slide a little bit when you lose the downforce. That is an analysis that we will run as soon as we receive the data from the team. But I don't see any other effect on tires because of the bumps.
Thank you.
Welcome. Darshan?
Yeah. Hi, Mario. Just going back to the Turkey race, I presume you have analyzed the tires now. So did you find anything new on the tires, especially of Ocon, Lewis and Esteban, because they ran the most number of laps in those conditions?
No, nothing special other than what I said after or during Turkish GP, that obviously the level of wear was excessive, and in some cases they were running on the construction. So obviously the tires are not designed to run on construction. The problem was that the performance was still good with on that circuit in this condition, and obviously there was no incentive to change. Another element that is from Turkey is that the track was drying very, very, very slowly, much slowly than any other circuit. And so it was still in a condition that was not good for slick tires at the end of the race, but it was drying. So the problem for the drivers that decided to change very late, I believe that was that fitting a new set of intermediate on a track that was drying, they were initiating some graining on the new set of intermediate, because obviously the conditions were not for the slick, but were also at the limit for the intermediate. And the graining was penalizing the performance. So fitting new tires, they didn't find the increase in performance that usually you have when you fit a new tire. They were almost the same. And then when they were cleaning the graining, at that point, the tires were working better. But then the race was finished. So. But we didn't find anything else on the construction or any particular damage or anything. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. Guys, I don't hear anybody.
Now, can you hear?
Darshan, can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you.
Yes. Hello.
Mario, we can hear you.
I think we have a problem with the connection, guys. I don't know why.
We can hear you, Mario. But I think you can't hear us.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, if you can hear me, can anybody talk so I can get a
Mario, a voice? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I cannot hear you. That's
Shane.
Just to confirm, I can.
Okay, you're back. Sorry. Darshan, you were saying?
Yeah, considering that some of the teams and the drivers did not adhere to your the number of laps you gave in Turkey, do you think that you need a rule enforcement under safety grounds to allow, to push drivers or teams to adhere to your laps which you give suggestions to you? Because it was very close to getting the tires could have exploded on safety grounds. So do you think you need some enforcement?
No, wait. We didn't give any number of tire or any number of laps in Turkey because it is impossible to give a number of laps in a condition like the one we had in Turkey. We don't know which is the speed of the track to dry, and basically they have to use the tire in a safe condition. But obviously, we cannot give any car is different, any circuit is different. Those conditions were unpredictable, so we didn't give any number of tire. Now the point is, if it is necessary to give a number of laps, but it's impossible to make a calculation before the race because of the reason that I just told you. So honestly, I don't see how we can impose a number of laps other than saying, I don't know, 5 laps, that makes no sense at all. Because if you have to impose a number of laps and you have to stay on the safe side, then you have to go down to take a lot of margin. That is not in the spirit of competition. So it's up to the teams to decide which is the limit. Obviously, when we have information on the level of wear of some tires, we gave the information to the teams and then they decided. But as I said, each car is different. Each driver is different, and also the wear on the tire is different. Ed?
Oh, yeah, you completed the 18-inch wheel rim test program recently. What's your kind of final conclusion on the progress made? And can you give a little bit of an overview of the kind of changes dynamically that will result from the change to 18-inch rims? I'm thinking particularly in terms of how it interacts with the suspension, with the much smaller sidewalls and that kind of thing. What's the kind of global view of the impact?
To give you an overview, the last test was only on the intermediate, and it was the final validation of the intermediate. We tested the last solutions, and we are happy with the final product. To go back to our test campaign and the findings on the 18-inch tires, they are in line with our expectation and they are in line with the targets that we had in the target letter. In terms of drivability, looking at, obviously, we tested the tires on the mule cars, not on the final version of the 2022 car. So I am expecting some differences next year. The comments from drivers were that the tires are more precise, more reactive, so they feel like more a racing tire because the big sidewall was giving a bit of delay in response. But also in most of the circuits where they were testing, they used the same lines used with the 13-inch tires. We asked them to push also during the long runs because one of the requirements was to have less degradation and not have any overheating. So we told them to push also for the long runs, and they reported a much better feeling, so much less overheating. Again, we are talking about the mule cars, but I believe that also the new family of compounds is working well. They were not reporting any issue with the warm-up because the other point was to have a wider working range in the compound. So one potential risk is that you protect the overheating, but on the other side, you have a warm-up that is much worse. So it is more difficult for them to warm up the tire, while they reported no issues in the warm-up and no overheating or much less overheating compared to the current tires. And I believe that this is a good overview of the test campaign. in terms of suspension, the new suspensions will be new. We miss one point that is quite important, is that the brakes next year will be completely different compared to this year. And also during our testing, we were not using the rim cover. So we need to understand with the rim covers and the new brakes that are with a different airflow, and basically the heat is going inside, which is the increase in temperature in the rim due to the different configuration compared to the current cars. But it was not possible to test with a next year version of the brakes and the cover. So we have still this question mark that is pending. Keith.
Hi, Mario. Also on the tires for 2022, in the tests, what performance levels from the new cars did you simulate for? Because when these rules were first announced, we heard they could be 4 or 5 seconds a lap slower. But I think Pat Simmons has given an interview recently indicating that the drop could be as little as half a second, which is obviously vastly bigger loads on the tires, I would imagine.
Yeah, true. And obviously, we got some data and simulations from the teams in order to understand which is the real performance difference for next year cars. The mule cars were a bit slower because the mule cars are not designed to work with these tires. The aero package is not optimized for that. And we had to accept that the mule cars were a bit slower. But this is a common feature when we develop a complete new product. If you remember, when we were developing the wider tire in 2017, the mule cars were 5-6 seconds lower than the 2017 cars. So we had to take this into consideration. What we are doing now is also to compare on a simulator, basically with a virtual model of the car that remains the same, fitting virtually 13 inches tire and 18 inches tires to understand the difference in performance. We are expecting the same performance from the new tires, very similar performance. They are heavier, but mainly because the rim, the front rim is probably 2.5 kilos heavier than the current front rim, and the rear rim is probably around 3 kilos heavier. So the full package, one set of tire will be 10 kilos more. The tires, the weight of the tire is very similar, almost the same, because we have the sidewall that is a bit smaller, but the diameter is a bit bigger, so the weight is compensated because of this. What else? So what we did in our compound development was to consider that next year the cars can be quicker than the original expectation, and so we try to select compounds also considering this, because clearly if they are quicker compared to the test we did, it means that we need to be a bit conservative with the compounds, because you put more energy, so the risk is to have a range of compound that is too soft, and we try to balance that in order to have a range of compounds that is more suited to the new characteristics of the car. And the other point is that during 1 year of development with a car that is completely new, I am expecting a high rate of development during the year. Usually we have 1 second per lap of performance increase. Probably next year it would be higher. Dieter.
Mario, please could you clarify exactly what's going on in Abu Dhabi after the final race? Is it one day of rookie, and what tires will they be using, what cars, and then what are you doing with the 18-inch test?
We have 2 days in total. First day is together both the 2021 cars with 13-inch tires and a fixed allocation with the rookies, together with mule cars on 18-inch tires and the race drivers. The second day is only 18-inch tires with the mule cars and no more rookies. And for the Abu Dhabi test, It was decided together with the teams in the FIA to have a fixed allocation covering all the five compounds that we are homologating. And so they have the same amount of tires.
And what days, Mario?
Tuesday and Wednesday after the race.
Tuesday, Wednesday. So Monday, prepare cars. Tuesday, Wednesday, running.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then the next question is, are you sure that you have sufficient days testing next year to be able to go into the season confidently with the new cars?
We are working at the calendar because we don't know which is the final real performance of the tires on the new cars, but I'm quite positive on that. We are planning our 25 days of testing for next year. It's a bit tricky because next year with a calendar that is 23 events and with a lot of back-to-back of triple header, it's impossible to organize a test in between two races if they are back-to-back. So we need to identify possible test sessions. Also in the back-to-back, if you look at the calendar, we have a lot of occasions in which the second race is a street circuit, like, I don't know, Barcelona, Monte Carlo. And we cannot stay in Monte Carlo for testing. So the possibility, or also Silverstone that we use every year for testing. Next year is back-to-back with Spielberg, if I'm not wrong. So we cannot test in Silverstone. And those are limitations that we have to consider in our test plan for next year. It's currently under discussion. We have prepared an idea that we want to propose to the FIA and the teams and see what we can do.
I was actually asking about the pre-season testing, Mario, but thank you for that other information. That was
Sorry. The pre-season test, what you wanted to know?
Well, will you have enough days, do you think, to go into the season comfortably and confidently?
I think so. It's 6 days in total of testing, so I believe that it's a good opportunity. That was decided to have two sessions. Yeah.
But won't half of them be not written off? But I mean, we're going to Spain, which isn't really relative for the first part. And apart from that, the temperatures will be pretty low.
That is something that we know from the past. So, yeah. Sometimes we had low temperature, sometimes we had very good conditions. So it's difficult to predict. Ed?
Yeah, on the subject of pre-season testing next year, is the tyre allocation or the available sets of tyres going to be similar and in line with previous years, or are you going to try and get more to teams because they might want to maximise the mileage?
We haven't discussed the pre-season test allocation yet with the teams because I believe that they want to better understand the tires during the post-season test in Abu Dhabi. So clearly we are trying to organize our production and the logistic in order to get the selection after the test in Abu Dhabi. It's obviously tricky because we don't have a lot of time, but that is the plan. The plan is to discuss that at the next sporting committee or at the next occasion with the FIA and with the teams. But basically, to give you an idea of the quantity of tires that we will supply is in line with previous years. So we in general supply 10 sets of tires per day per car. Keith? I don't know if your hand is up from before.
Sorry, I should have lowered it. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. Dieter, do you have any? Okay, no. Ed?
Yeah, just to come back to the pace of the cars next year, from what you said about the anticipated pace and the fact you expect a rapid pace of developments, do you think by the time you get to the end of next season, next year's cars will be quicker than this year's if you had to put an educated guess on it?
Give me a crystal ball. I don't know. But obviously, if they start the season that they are just half a second slower than current cars, I'm expecting they are quicker at the end of the season. But I'm not sure that they start the season that they're just half a second slower than current cars. consider that current cars are quite fast, so I'm not expecting such a small difference, but very difficult to predict. Okay, any other question? No? Thanks a lot, and sorry for the issues with the connection. Have a good day.